ascension. The text for our meditation today is taken from Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. During the Vietnam War, many of our veterans saw some pretty awful things take place over there. Certain villages that would be attacked and burned. They often saw women and children so badly treated. Many of them came back with horror stories about the sad conditions and deplorable conditions that existed for many of the Vietnamese people. And many of the people over there who lived out in the jungles and so on were not really fully aware of who these Americans were and these soldiers, and that they were trying to liberate them and help them. Many of them had grown up with a perspective on Americans that was completely different. Imagine, if you would, for a moment, an American soldier at the end of the war finding a little Vietnamese child living in a burned-out hut, the village entirely burned, and trying to gently remove that child from this burning hut and to adopt the child and take that child with him back to his homeland. How hard it might be for that little Vietnamese boy to think rightly about the soldier and what he's trying to do, and can't even imagine what wonderful good things could be in store for him if he were to go with him, and so on. It might be difficult for the soldier to try and teach the child to have a completely new and different perspective. Our Lord's ascension that we celebrate tomorrow in the church year gives all of us an opportunity to have a whole new outlook and perspective from what we might think in this world. First of all, a whole new perspective on God and what God thinks of us. I remember years ago going to visit a gentleman who had been a devout Christian for many years and was suddenly in the hospital with some heart trouble. And in going to talk to him, it just made such an impression on me how afraid he was of dying and of God. How easy it was for him to think about God as some oppressive character, as someone that had this animosity toward him and a reason to be afraid of him, and so on. And I thought, here's somebody who's been strong in their faith their whole life, even taught others in the faith, and is now wrestling with that issue of, what does God think of me? But that's probably true for every one of us, even those of us that have been blessed to grow up in the Christian faith and have wonderful Christian families and go to church regularly. Down in the deep recesses of our consciences and our minds and our hearts live these little fears about God. Thinking of God as this oppressive judge that someday is going to have his way with us. And the reason for that little pocket of fear in my heart can be there for a variety of different reasons. Maybe it's a particular incident that took place years ago that my memory just can't shake. Maybe it's an ongoing pattern that I have with something that I clearly know is wrong, that I would really be upset with my children about, and yet I struggle with. Maybe it's just a general lack of sanctification in my life, a general lack of really living out my faith before people. And maybe it's the fact that sometimes I can be tempted into living this kind of outward life of piety before people and have this facade of righteousness before them and doing everything right and saying the right things. But inside, I know the kind of thoughts I can have. I know the kinds of feelings that I can have and the kinds of emotions that can stir inside of me. So these are the types of reasons why people that even who have been blessed to grow up in the Christian faith still have this pocket of fear inside of them about God, that he's this oppressive judge that's going to come down crushing on them. Well, God would have you look at your Lord's ascension and have a whole new perspective on him, to see him instead as a God who is nothing but kindness, gentleness, and friendship toward you. The fact that Christ has ascended into heaven means that the work that it took to create that friendship between you and God is all done. It's all complete. Just like a surgeon, when he's done with the surgery, if he takes off his mask and his gloves and his surgical garb and washes his hands and goes out and puts his suit back on, you know that his work is over. The surgery is finished and complete. So it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. When he ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection, that was his way of declaring to each one of you, the payment to get things right between you and this holy, oppressive God has all been taken care of. It's all done. It's completed and finished. Just take comfort in that. And so our Lord's ascension gives us that right from God to look at him with a whole new set of eyes, to see him not as an enemy and an oppressor, but rather as our friend, just like that little child suddenly viewing the American soldier in a different way. And so if you and I continue to live in the delusion that God is still somehow angry with us and condemning toward us, then he would have you and invite you to contemplate the ascension of your Savior. This also gives us a whole new perspective on what's going to happen to us in the future. Listen to our text. When Christ, who is your life, I love that, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I just love how when God writes to his church things like this, he puts it in such certainty. You just can't miss it. Notice he doesn't say, you might appear with him in glory, or there's a good chance. You will appear with him in glory. God doesn't want there to be any doubt in your mind that when Christ comes back to this world, you're coming with him by faith. Thinking of a child from a third world country coming out of a burned out hut with an American soldier and somehow being adopted and brought back to the United States and having never been to the United States and landing in the airport, maybe in New York or something, and now possibly at customs and stuff having to go through a metal detector, and the soldier is gently trying to lead that little third world child through that metal detector, something he's never seen before. And the child looks at this frame to go through and is terrified and afraid of it. And the soldier knows that there's nothing to be afraid of. In fact, on the other side of the frame is wonderful life waiting for the child. But the child is still so concerned and afraid about what this metal frame might be to walk through. That's how death is for us. On this side of death, in this life, we look at it and we're so afraid by it. And we're concerned about it and so on. Christ has already gone through the frame. He's already gone through the doorway. He knows it's a piece of cake. In fact, he knows that going through the doorway brings blessing and benefit for us. And so there's nothing to be afraid of. And so he is the one who now has to work to convince us through his word to look at our own death like a safe passage, not something to fear, but a safe passage into the beautiful home that he has prepared for us. Our text says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You and I have a hard time in this world trying to imagine what heaven would be like. We try a little bit, but it's pretty tough for us to come up with. Just like a third world child trying to imagine, coming from a burned out little hut, trying to imagine what life in America in a plush mansion could be like. So it is for us. We try with our minds in this world, but God says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It's far beyond anything we could ever see or touch or have or experience in this life. And notice again the certainty of all of this in our text. Christ is our life, and when he appears, he will take you with him. The head is already up in heaven, and the body on earth has to follow. Just like your head and body have to go together as you walk around today in your duties, so it is with Christ. His head has ascended to heaven. He, the head, has ascended to heaven. His body of believers must come and must follow because we are connected to him by faith. And not only that, not only can we have a new perspective on God and on the future and what's going to happen to us and how to look at death in a different way, but we can also look now at what we do in this life and what's going on in this life with a whole new set of eyes, a whole new perspective. Imagine, if you will, that third world child being pulled out of a burning hut and the soldier trying to walk him away from that, knowing that he's going to adopt him and bring him back to this beautiful home in the United States. And the child wanting to run back into the burning hut to get a wad of sticks that he's been playing with because it's such an important toy. But the soldier knows that going back into that hut could mean potentially death for him. What are the sticks that you and I are tempted to live for in this life? What are the things that are part of this burning, decaying world that attract us into thinking that that's where I'm going to find my success in life? That's where I'm going to find my purpose in life, is with something here. God calls to us in his word to turn away from the things of this life. Don't set your mind here on earth with all the stuff that's going to burn up and rot and be gone. But instead, set your mind on the beautiful home waiting for you in heaven. Set your mind on things above. How absolutely absurd it is for me, and I'm tempted to do this often, how absolutely absurd it is for me to think that somehow in this world and in this town that's just full of graveyards, that I'm going to find my real life. How absurd to think that in this community that is full of undertakers, that we're going to find lasting happiness here. How absolutely ridiculous. God doesn't want us to miss out on the beautiful mansion of heaven he's prepared for us by running back into a burning hut for a bunch of sticks. Everything that we have here in this world ultimately ends in destruction and death. It's a great quotation by Johann Gerhard. Let me read it for you. He says, The apples of Sodom may delight us with their exterior beauty, but touch them and they fall to ashes. God invites you and me to lift our minds away from all the stuff in this life that's going to deteriorate to the beautiful things he's prepared for us. Set your mind on things above, he says, not on earthly things. Seek those things which are above, where Christ, who is your life, is seated. That is where you and I belong, and that is where we're going. And so may we always say with the church, on Christ's ascension, I now build the hope of my ascension. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the completed work of our Lord Jesus, who has atoned for all of our sins, who has risen from the grave to give us our own hope of our resurrection, and has even ascended now to heaven to make ready a room for us in the mansions above. Send us your Holy Spirit to increase our faith in this and to warm our hearts that you are truly a God who loves us, has prepared a future home for us, and also will now instruct us through your word how to look at the things of this life according to your will. We pray this all in the name of Christ, our ascended Savior. Amen.
Once was crowned with thorns.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.